I am spiritual, but not religious. It's a line perhaps you've heard before. It's often given by people who want to follow Jesus without what they see as the restrictions that come from formal church structures and dogmas and morals. In one online article I saw this week, there was a man from California who said he believes in God and studies the teachings of Jesus. And he was asked if he identified with a particular religion, and his response very emphatically was never. And he went on to explain that the structure and rigidity of a church is antithetical to everything Jesus represents. Except it's not. At least not if we actually study the teachings of Jesus and take him at his word. In the gospel today, he said to Peter, "I will build my church." Could it be any more obvious that, in fact, building a church is precisely one of the reasons that God became man and dwelt among us? And this church of Christ, like any building, has a particular structure if it's going to fit together and stand firm. A structure that includes a unique role for Peter and for his successors, the popes. Jesus very clearly gives to Peter authority, represented by those keys, the keys to the kingdom, the authority to bind and loose. And so it's very clear from this moment in Matthew's gospel, an important one for us as Catholics to know well, Matthew 16:18, memorize that, that the church of Christ is the church built on Peter. This is the church that Christ intended to build. And why did our Lord desire to build a church? Was it really to restrict and burden us? Was this the reason he gave the church a particular structure with clear teachings about faith and morals? Certainly not. Again, all we have to do is take Christ at his word to see this is not at all why he built a church. When he spoke of building his church to St. Peter, he gave this promise: the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. In other words, Christ gave us the church not as a burden, but, to borrow another term from contemporary culture, as a safe space. He knew that being his disciple would not be easy, that we would come up against all kinds of confusion about truth and falsehood, good and evil, difficult waters to navigate. He knew there would be temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil to turn away into sin. He knew that every human life would be marked by trial and suffering, living as we do in a fallen, broken world, that could cause us to fear and to doubt. And it was out of mercy and compassion and love that he saw we needed a place of safety, a refuge, something firm and constant in the changing waters of this world. And that, my friends, is why Christ built a church. In the church, we find truth. Over the centuries, as various ideologies come and go like fads, the church in her dogmas and doctrines has handed down faithfully that one unchanging, firm truth that she didn't invent, but that she received from Christ himself. The church has preserved and celebrated those same seven sacraments that Jesus himself instituted, that he gave us, so that throughout our lives we could draw upon his grace in the struggle of our discipleship. And through the authorities and the laws that govern the community of the church, he gave us this stable society where we can belong, where we can find support and encouragement from one another. This and so much more is why we have a church, why we are spiritual and religious. Some will point to the very public sins of certain church leaders as reason for leaving the church, and this is truly scandalous. We should be taken aback, offended by this. The church is always in need of reform and conversion because she's made up of sinners, fallen human beings like you and me. But we should not let that keep us from seeing another thing that happens in the church, a beautiful fruit of the church, a group of people whose lives precisely flow from, they're dwelling deeply within the heart of the church that Christ built. These are the saints. These holy men and women from down the centuries show forth how radically and beautifully human lives can be transformed if we truly live the fullness of what the church has to offer, when we avail ourselves of all the treasures of Christ's church, the truth and the grace that the church brings us. And that, easy as it is for us to forget, is ultimately the very purpose of our lives. We're made to be saints. We're called in our lives to avail ourselves of all those treasures of the church, to welcome her teachings, even when they're hard, even when they're challenging. We're called to draw from the sacraments the grace that we need in the struggle of our lives. We're called to immerse ourselves in the communal life and to contribute our own gifts to that community, to draw on the support of others and to give that to one another. And here's what happens when we become saints by dwelling in the heart of the church. We show forth to the world the true face of the church. That the true face of the church is not the scandals that you read in the headlines. That the church is not a cold, rigid, empty, man-made institution. But that the church is a God-man-made institution at the heart of which is the warmth and light of charity, of the God who is love, who dwells right in the heart of his church. So let's take Jesus at his word. Let's thank him for building a church, a refuge for us on the stormy seas of life, a church that is the bark of Peter, that boat that if we remain on it will carry us across the stormy waters of this life to the peaceful shores of heaven. Let's ask our Lord today for the grace not only to remain in his church, but to show forth the true face of the church by our own lives of holiness, lives that radiate the peace and joy that we have found in the Church of Jesus Christ. St. Patrick, pray for us.